What the river told me.
I just come up here each day to watch the ships, really. See what's going on in the water, like, you know. But you get the occasional one that's going to Africa and places like that. You just wonder about them, like, you know.
You come and wonder every day?
Yeah, more or less, more or less. And to get out the way of the Uvrid. You get to learn a lot off the radio, you know.
All ships travelling information, the North Stream has permission to depart from Tilby Dock to proceed outward bound once the Undine has passed. This is London VTSL.
There's a couple of them that come up the river. They come from Sweden. They're beautiful looking ships and they make a regular run Sweden to Tilbury. And I always say, like, that they're the best two ships on the Thames.
What makes a ship beautiful?
Well, we get a lot of ships that are boxy type things, you know, just a big box floating. But these are traditional line ships, you know. I lived on Canvey Island, and our school used to back onto the seawall. And we had a teacher there who was also interested in ships, and because every ship that came down, it was, what's this one, you know, and probably where the interest grew from, really. You know, the seed was put in and it just develops, doesn't it?
But you never went to sea?
No. I want you to go to sea, and it's all about money, isn't it? And Mum was sort of saying, like, you've got to get a job. And so, like, building industry, here I come.
None of each, just morning.
Yeah, morning, you're right for the road tennis players, just down for the ovens.
Yeah, this is none of each, just message received.
I believe it's that one over there, he's just away from Royal Terrace Pier, which is just over there, and he's down to the ovens, which is down on the corner of the river, like, you know.
This is London VTS, river broadcast time 10:30, speed reductions in force passing London Gateway, men working on the waterline. Alpha Jelly Cliff, men working on the waterline.
Later on in life, I got a job in Australia and a house to go to, but it's then making your mind up. It wasn't so much me, I wasn't really bothered, it was the wife.
She didn't want to go.
Didn't want to leave the family, so. And you look back and you think, was it the right move, was it the wrong move? I don't know. You retire and you're comfortable, money-wise and everything else-wise, and you think, well, I've done well, I've done all right. Have you? I don't know.
Hello.
Aren't you gorgeous?
You're a lovely girl.
What's he looking for?
I don't know.
Lugworm.
How do you reckon?
Buried treasure, I think. I've no idea.
He's going to be in Australia soon.
I've never seen it. I've never seen any other dolphin. Not
really
in the stand.
He will stick his head right in it. Yeah. And in a minute, he'll spot the geese and go steaming out there.
What's his name?
Bailey. He loves it down there.
Hello, Bailey.
Bailey, what's this?
Hello.
Whoa. Oh, we found a crab!
Hey.
A crab!
Is it a big one?
Is it enough for two?
It's alive, just about, I think.
One of the most wonderful things is when the tide's pushing up, it's a high tide in winter, and there's hardly anywhere for the birds to roost, and so you can get these huge flocks. They just billow up in clouds. The sandpiper's called Knot or Dunlin. Honestly, I can just flood up in hundreds, even thousands. And, you know, they'll take, from the start of the flock to the end of it, it goes past. It's taken the best part of a minute to go past. And it's just wonderful. They twist as and move as one, and so you get the grey on their backs, and they almost disappear. And then they all turn as one, and you just get this flash of white on their under feathers. I'm a self-confessed creature geek. You know, my engagement with the natural world is one of finding out what things are and knowing as much as I can. But at some point, I have to forget that, and it's all about just being and just watching things like that unfold.
A net full of fish is what you're there for, and often what you're going to earn out of it is irrelevant. You're going hunting every day. Normally that's a nice olive green, really olive green with bright orange spots. The colours of it just are so vibrant. When you catch a lot of plaice, they're a bit like ants. They produce a slime that's very sweet. And when the cod end swings aboard with a bag of plaice, you've got all this slime runs out, and it's so, oh, it's vibrant. Oh, smell that. It's amazing.
We think of fishermen as people who run along the surface, but actually you're down there with the fish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A fisherman is an observer. He's looking, learning. Every time the net comes up, he's getting information. And he's got a history. He's listened to what's been said by perhaps his family or the people he's worked with. Fishermen are still taught in stories. We used to go here. So-and-so went there. Grandfather did this bit. We didn't catch anything then, but the fish were there because we caught them 3 hours later. Listening to all those little stories builds you up a picture. One of the things in my last boat, you could feel the vibration and the movement, the net going along the ground. You could feel if the ground was getting rough. You could feel the little bit of movement within the seat where you're moving backwards and forwards a little bit. And you can see the wires running down to the doors just twitching instead of it being firm. And you'll hear the engine tone when she starts to struggle as the gear sinks in the mud a little bit. All those things, it's being aware of everything that's going on around you. I've laid in bed, couldn't sleep because I knew where I was going, and my wife has kicked me in the back. For God's sake, you've got 2 hours before you've got to get up. Go to sleep, you're going to be knackered. One occasion, a boy called the Tizard just kept bobbing up and down in my sleep all night. And I said to my father when I got to work, I said, Dad, I've had this dream. I said, this bloody boy has been bobbing up and down. He said, well, you've got no choice. You've got to go there. I went there and had an absolute super day. Premonition, dream, or just working it out, I don't know.
Do you dream about fish?
When I dream about, oh, you know, that's a lovely place called George or something like that, no. But it's just that, the thrill of the hunt. I don't know if you have to have the mindset of the fish or whatever, but you've got to be in there with it.
Jocelyn's Beach is where a group of us swim from the beach by Chalkwell Station. We take breakfast down and follow the tide round during the week as it comes in later, you know, again, from breakfast to lunch, taking lunch down. Or we just spend our summer days down there. To see that expanse of sea and sand and to be able to just rush off across the beach down into the water, it's just lovely. Yeah, always a lot of chat goes on, local affairs and state of the tide, state of the water, how clean it is, whether there are jellyfish in the water. They're quite small, but they can give you a little sting. But to be honest, you come off the beach feeling great, really. We're lucky because it is there for us, you know, we can enjoy it. And if you walk out across the mud, you can swim in the creek, could play games on the mud, cricket, kick a football around, get covered in mud, come back to the beach. Yes, great fun. Can't wait to see you on the beach.
Swimming in the sea is much nicer than swimming in a pool for a start. You don't get that echoey noise you get in a chlorinated pool, you know, where you feel as if you're in a little bubble. Here you're actually out and you can swim out as far as you like, underwater as long as you like, splash around, do anything you want. That's a warbler you just heard there, see. There's something called a Chetty's warbler, which is the only warbler that stays here during the year. And it bursts into a very sort of vibrant noise and then it just goes quiet again. So it's just warding people away. I think it feels just like an extra layer of clothing when you swim, really. It's just an extra thing that's putting all around you. It's like getting into a wetsuit, really. And the sea, I mean, today it's the colour of the sky, you know, so it looks quite blue. Other days it looks very murky brown or even sheet metal grey, you know. So the colour is changing all the time according to the light. There's just a peacock butterfly gone down there. They're quite attractive.
My mind will dream about what people have passed through this way over thousands of years. You know, what were their lives like and how did they survive? But, you know, and then I think, oh, 1,000 years ago, what would it have been like to have arrived here and thought, how am I going to get across? Pilgrims, travellers would have come down through Essex to cross the river here, which is very dangerous. And we have found these pilgrim badges, little lead badges that you pick up as souvenirs. And for whatever reason, they get lost or deliberately deposited near to rivers quite often. It's like a bit of an offering. That's why you get these chantries and chapels being built along the edge of the river, where you pay the chanter to sing a hymn your good being. You cross the river, and then later on it became a more religious chapel. You're going to encourage people to believe it's a good time, just before they cross, well, you know, I think you might need a higher being to look after you and believe in this faith. The church by Culhouse Fort, of course, is considered to be one of the first two Christian missionary churches built by St. Sed in 653 AD. So St. Sed was here, you know. He may well have crossed on his travels to other places, you know. Yeah. All those, you know, rich, fantastic people. This boundary, this trackway we're walking down, has been a boundary for 1,000 years. So it's in the body and the mind and the soul of a community.
All stations, this is Thames and Dover Coast Guard. Here is the Maritime Safety Information Broadcast. Gale warnings. There are currently no gale warnings for the Humber, Thames, Dover or White areas. Inshore water.
Why are you here today?
I'm here to see the wife. She loved the sea, so I just come down to pay respects to her.
You come and have a chat?
Every day, yeah. No matter what the weather, I come down here.
What was your wife's name?
Dot. I was in the army all my life, like, you know. And when I got married to Dot, she taught me how to be civilianised, you know, which is quite difficult for a guy who's never been in service since he was 19 year old.
What does it take to be civilianised?
Manners, a bit of respect, and find out the prices of things. Because I couldn't tell you the price of anything. A haircut or a pint of milk.
And where did you meet your wife?
I met her in Colchester. That was my last posting. And we just came back from Germany. I was a staff sergeant, like, you know, because I've been 21 years. And my mate said to me, try the Brewer's Arms. It's a nice pub, that. It's a sort of local pub. And I walked to the door and looked at the bar, and it was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen in my life working behind the bar.
Can you remember what she looked like?
Oh, yeah, she had bright red hair, she had in a beehive, very petite, well-dressed, you know. And we got talking, and that's how it started. Went to the Greek restaurant, and that's the first woman I'd taken to a restaurant in my life. You know that?
That takes a bit of guts, actually, when you haven't done it before.
Yeah, it did. But we got over that, like, you know. As I say, she taught me everything. She done all banking and things like that, you know, and I was spoiled, basically. And when she passed away, what did I do? Bills and things like that, you know. Basics, you know.
Yeah.
Oh. So I had to learn all that, which was difficult for me, I must admit, but my daughter helped me out. She was very brainy, like, you know. And I look at the garden and I go, I was never a gardener. She was a gardener as well. And I go, I started picking out plants instead of weeds. I still use a book to empty the Hoover.
You still use a book to empty
the instructions in case I break it.
Well, that can be complicated.
It's not really. It's just me. I just can't understand it. I talk to her every day. I've got photographs of her all over the house, you know. When I watch the telly, I bring her photograph, put it in the CD so she can watch it. So little things, you know. My daughter thinks I'm daft. You know, I says, you're daft. People look at you and think, what are you doing?
No.
I says, well, I'm just talking to your mum. I'll go into the Sainsbury's and look at the price of grapes and go, see the price of grapes, Doc?
Does it feel like she's still...
here? Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
She's still here. If I have a sort of decision to make, I pass it by her. And I don't know how she does it, but she seems to give me the right answer.
How does she do that?
I don't know how she gets it in my head.
She's like your better self, your intuition.
Yeah, she's still keeping an eye on me, watching me and teaching me things.
Do you think she'd laugh at you about the Hoover?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I really like the idea that you still come and talk to her here.
Oh, I'll always do that, yeah. She deserves that much when we put it that way, you know.
We had a snowstorm and we stood in the front garden looking out over the mudflats that were being covered in snow, and the whole sky and the mud had gone this light blue. It was incredible. We tried to take a photograph of it. What did we get? Blackness and white dots. But you know, it was like, wow, look at this. And you're trying to tell people, look, come on, no, don't be silly. Most amazing sight. The sky was blue, the sea was blue, the mud was blue. Fabulous. I came home one night and I said to my wife, I said, gosh, I've seen some of the most amazing colours in the sky I've ever seen. I said, it was just brilliant. It was all over the top of Clacton. I said, it was just amazing. Purples and greens and oh, just fantastic. It gives you something to get up in the morning for. You see those things. You see the marvellous sun coming up. You think, oh, isn't that lovely? Look at those lovely colours. And that's, you know, one of the advantages of, one, not putting net curtains over your windows, to look outside, which people do. I'm not going to have someone looking in my house. Well, by doing that, you're not seeing what's outside.